But listen, I'm even more stunned by the foolishness of what's going on in our culture. And one thing is that I didn't realize this until maybe last year, that men can have babies. I didn't know that was a fact. And you can pick your own gender. And you know, I mean, there's just such foolishness. And think about this anti-Semitism that's just, you know, just growing like weeds. It's crazy. TikTok is the major source of news for the Gen Zs. TikTok. I don't understand it. Our government says we don't need borders and we don't need a budget. So you tell me. It seems like there's a lot of foolishness about this. But it just kind of blows my mind to think about that. But what do you think God thinks about that? What do you think he does? So Lars last week reminded us that God shows man's wisdom to be useless nonsense. That's in 1 Corinthians. That's useless nonsense. King David writes that God breaks out laughing and mocks men's madness and feeble plans. That's in Psalm 2. Breaks out laughing at us trying to be. Isaiah says that God will destroy human wisdom and discard their most brilliant ideas. Isn't that crazy? Even with all that, even with knowing what God says, throughout history, man is trying to prove how smart they are, how much wisdom and knowledge they have. Going back to the times of building the Tower of Babel, they built the Tower of Babel to get into the heavens. They thought we'd just keep building higher and higher and higher, and we're going to get into heaven. That's not a good idea. IBM, Chris, being from the old IBM world, they are projecting now what they call a knowledge tsunami. A couple of years ago, they projected that the world's knowledge would double every 12 hours. Are you kidding? I mean, isn't that crazy to even think about that? So, with that in mind, with that little backdrop in mind, I want to turn to, like for y'all to turn with me to 1 Corinthians 2, as we're going to continue on our study of standing firm. Last week, you remember, Lars gave us a great context about the city of Corinth. The big metropolitan city had a bad rep, sexual immorality everywhere, and so it wasn't going good. So, at the very our core verses are going to be 6-9, but I'm going to start a little bit before that, just to again bring a little bit of context around it. And I'm going to read it from the Message, starting I think it's in verse 3. But anyway, so Paul says this. As he's now sitting and talking with the people of Corinth, he says, I was unsure how to go about this. That's telling them the gospel. And I felt totally inadequate. And by the way, Bob Boyles reminded me this morning, wherever he's sitting, that I was totally inadequate to be up here. And I thank you for that, Mr. Boyles. He said I was totally inadequate. So Paul says, nothing I could have said would impress you. Nothing. He says, but the gospel, this is Paul talking, the gospel came through anyway. God's spirit and God's power did it. So if you want to think about Paul's wisdom a little bit, what he was saying in effect was, hey, look, I didn't come here as an expert or as a salesman or something like that. He said, I've got all kind of credentials. I went to the best schools. I got the PhD in Hebrew, and I had the best teachers, and I have all that kind of stuff. And I can reason and debate with the best of them. He was truly amazing. But instead, he said, I chose to come to you as a, not as a expert, but not as a salesman, but as a witness. So he's coming and he's witnessing to the people. So when I was reading this, I'm asking myself, well, why didn't he tout his PhD credentials? I mean, we all tout our resumes and this and that we've done and et cetera, but Paul didn't do that. And the reason he didn't do it is because in that culture, the Greek culture, you know, there was a lot of philosophers over time. There's Socrates and Plato and Aristotle, and he didn't want the people who had been trained in that way of thinking, he didn't want them to somehow morph Christianity, believing in Jesus, he didn't want them to morph that into some kind of human understanding or wisdom. So instead, he kept his focus on the gospel, which is the true wisdom, which is knowing Christ personally. That's true wisdom, is knowing Christ. Which leads us now into our core verses, which is found in 6 through 9. And now I'm going to read a little bit of the balance of the chapter, 10 through 16, not all. But I want you to notice the shift in Paul's message as he talks about true wisdom as opposed to the false wisdom that Lars addressed last week. So starting in 6, he says, "We, of course, have plenty of wisdom." This is Paul. And remember, one more time, he didn't leave his brain at the door, right? This is a smart guy. He says, "We have plenty of wisdom to pass on to you once you get your feet on firm spiritual ground." But it's not popular or fashionable wisdom of the high-priced experts. God's wisdom is something mysterious that goes deep into his purposes. And you don't find it lying around on the surface. The experts of our day didn't have a clue and don't have a clue about that. And that's why they crucified him on the cross. And Scripture says, "No eye has seen and no ear has heard and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him." So if we read on, starting in 10, I want you to really be on the lookout for this massive shift that's coming. So here's Paul. He says, if you've seen it and heard it, God, by his Spirit, brought into the open before you, God has shown profound realities through his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep mysteries of God. The thoughts of God, listen, the thoughts of God are known only by his Spirit. It says, you must know that we have not received the spirit of this broken world, but from the Spirit of God, that we may experience and comprehend the gifts that come from God. Paul goes on, "We do not speak of these gifts in words shaped by human wisdom. We speak in words crafted by the Spirit, because our collective judgment on spiritual matters is accessible only to those who have the Spirit." And that, men, is a shift. You want wisdom? It comes from the Spirit. And listen to this. A person who denies spiritual realities will not accept the things that come through Christ, through the Spirit of God. They all sound like foolishness to them. He's incapable of grasping them. A person who walks by the Spirit, examines everything, sizing it up, seeking out truth, and now get ready, because this shift is going to explode. The Scripture says, who can know what the Lord is thinking? Who can give him counsel? Does anyone know the mind of the Lord well enough to become his advisor? Does anyone know? And I want you to listen to these next 12 words very carefully. Here's what Paul says. Does anyone know? Paul says, we can understand these things, for we have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. You want to go from false wisdom to true wisdom? We have the mind of Christ. And here's some things that the mind of Christ, that he says. One, it's given to believers through the Holy Spirit. That's where it comes from. Can't be understood if you don't have Christ in you. It's all foolishness. you're not going to believe that. It's in sharp contrast to the world. Actually, men can't have babies, Colin. I just want to just verify that with you. That's in sharp contrast to what the world's saying today.
Well, thank God for that.
Amen. That's right. Exactly. And the mind of Christ gives believers discernment in all kinds of spiritual matters. And it involves wisdom from God that was once hidden. So if you want true wisdom, if when you become a believer, you have been given the Holy Spirit, and through the Holy Spirit, you and I can have the mind of Christ. That's been talked about, and there's been tons of commentaries on it, but I'm telling you exactly what Paul says. We have the mind of Christ. And that, guys, is just a huge shift in our thinking. In your thinking, and it should be. So as we land today, I want to share a kind of a story that's unfolding with a man in our fellowship, and I want you to see the shift that went on from. I want you to see the shift. I don't have his permission to share with all. Some of you know, but I won't, and we're going to try to. I'm going to try to share more about it later, or the leadership will do that. But here are the basic facts. This is a man in our fellowship, and right before Christmas, he received a diagnosis of terminal diagnosis, short time to live. And he and his family met with the pastor to plan the funeral, and they met with the financial planner guy, and you know, all this kind of stuff to get everything in order. And he calls me, and the next day I went over to his home. And I met with him, and they were telling me the story of, you know, the diagnosis and the meeting and the pastor and the financial guy and all that kind of stuff. And as I was just sitting there listening, absorbing, it's hard to, you know, pull up in that driveway and have that conversation with somebody, right? I mean, so when I'm sitting there, I'm listening, and I just want to say thank the Lord that I had been in this study, because I felt a shift. And the shift for me was, listen, be bold, and I want you to talk to them about shifting from planning, you know, funeral and all that kind of stuff, to healing. I want you to shift from planning to healing. So I spoke and prayed some healing scriptures over them. They were very... He and his wife and some of the kids, and actually grandkids, were there, and they were very receptive to it. And so they had a shift. They had a shift. They went and got a second opinion, and the guy said, "Hey, look, I think you're a candidate for special operation." So they went down that path. We had this Wednesday, 2 days ago, right about this time, before the operation, we had a prayer call with some folks and some of you in the room, and for the operation, and God heard and God healed. The man's wisdom said weeks to live, and God said healed. And I got to tell you, God is a miracle worker. And wow, exciting stuff, and I'm sure you'll learn more about it later. But here's the question for us today, mature believers. The reason we're here and the reason we're online, glad you guys are online with us today. The question is, how do we, as mature believers, shift from this human or false witness to the true wisdom in our personal lives and our business lives and whatnot. Scripture points the way, right? It says, Proverbs tells us to trust in the Lord and lean not on our own understanding. Paul tells us, don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Jesus says, everyone who hears my word and does them is wise, true wisdom. And James tells us if you want to be wise, ask God, and he'll give it to you. So my takeaways as I listen to this, and let me just interject with it just a brief second on a business story that I'm involved with right now. And I won't go into any of the details, but there's been a shift in my thinking, a shift in my prayers, a total shift in it. And it's because I'm in the Word, and I'm studying, I'm listening. I have the mind of Christ. Todd, you have the mind of Christ. I mean, that's phenomenal to even think about that. So the takeaways for us is we need to shift our mindset and just actually realize that. Dave, we've got the mind of Christ. But we have to keep renewing our mind, because otherwise you're gonna start drifting if you're not rooted. We need to ask. Another thing we ask God. God, I need wisdom. I got a tough situation with a family relationship, with a business matter, with a health concern, whatever it may be. I got a really tough deal going on here. And then we have to listen to the Holy Spirit. And then we got to do it. I'm sitting there in that living room, and I wasn't sure I wanted to. But the Holy Spirit said, shift. I've been telling you that for 2 weeks. Do it right now. And I did it. Another takeaway for me is to make no mistake that doubt and unbelief are wisdom and miracle killers. Absolutely. Just ask the villagers in Nazareth when Jesus showed up to do miracles. What did it say? Couldn't do miracles. You know why? They didn't believe. Well, that's a killer right there. Just a couple more takeaways that I gleaned from this is to trust him and not your own intuition and your own wisdom, because he is sovereign and he knows the beginning from the end. And then the final one is that we need to operate with trust and with certainty. We have to hope like Abraham. We have to hope beyond hope. And we have to have this confident expectation that God will do exactly what he says he'll do. He did it with my friend, and he'll do it for you, and he'll do it for me. Abba, Father, we come to you as we close down today, and it's just, it is amazing to even consider the fact that we have the mind of Christ. Lord, this is a massive shift for me. I know this verse for, I can't tell you how many years, but it just exploded on me this week. And I pray, Father, that you will do the same thing in the hearts of the men here. Explode on them this realization that we have the mind of Christ. And for that, Lord, we give you all the praise and all the honor and all the glory, and we say thank you, thank you. In the mighty name of Jesus, I say amen and amen. Thanks, guys. Have a great time at your table.